Well, we started last week a series on faith. One of our key verses was Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We talked specifically last week about the focus of faith. We gave you an acrostic that it was a focused attitude intended towards holiness. God is wanting us to move forward in our Christian life so that we be more like Him on a day-by-day basis. And everything He's doing is not mistakes, but there's an intention for which He's bringing us to a place that we're more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. This evening, Lord willing, it's late already, but it's been a good service, I think. We're going to look at the facts of faith, and there are a lot of them. And then we'll look at the function of faith. And we just want to learn some things about faith. And the simple truth is, as we talked about last week, according to Scripture, you must live by faith. That's your only option if you're going to please God. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've calmed down the rain. Appreciate you answering that prayer. Thank you for your people. Thank you for a good report that we've already seen tonight. Good challenge on where we should be in discipleship. We've already been blessed by the music. And we pray that this time together around your word will be helpful, convicting, challenging. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's look at the facts of faith then this evening. We start with a definition, and that's pretty simple. The Bible gives us that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So by its very definition, faith is that which functions in a way that I cannot clearly see what's to take place. God is asking me to take a step that really doesn't make sense, if you will. I'm not saying it's stepping out in front of a Mack truck, okay? I'm not talking about that. We'll look at how we're to function with faith and how it's coordinated with the Word of God. We can be foolish in our prospect of faith. The second thing is we understand, and some of this is going to be very elementary for you, but I think it's a good reminder for us. Number two, or letter B, is salvation is by faith. Romans chapter 3 and verse 28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. In 1 Corinthians 15, 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, your faith is also vain. Titus chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So our very salvation, we must practice by faith. We have to step out and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. No one here has seen that personally. We have evidence written for us in Scripture. Witnesses all over the place saw it. But we're by faith believing Scripture. By faith we believe this book is what it claims to be. Because no one saw it take place. Therefore, it's a practice of faith. It's interesting to me that for many Christians, genuine Christians, I guess we could say all of them, it's almost easy, if you will, for us to practice faith in our salvation. It's a lot harder for us to practice our faith in daily living. And that really is really kind of crazy of us, isn't it? We believe that God is big enough and His Word is true enough to take us to heaven when we die, but He's not big enough and true enough to put the $10 in our gas tank tomorrow. Now when you really think about that, you go, it's kind of crazy. It is. But that's really where we live a lot of times, isn't it? We just struggle with that. But salvation is by faith. Let her see. It is a command that we live by faith. Mark chapter 11 in verse 22 says, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. The word have there is an imperative. It's to hold fast or to keep. Have faith in God. We're commanded to do that. Letter D. This one is an encouragement and a challenge all wrapped up together. Your faith can fail. Now, we're not talking about saving faith. I'm thankful that place our faith in the Lord, finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps us. We don't have to keep ourselves, if you will. But notice these verses in Luke 22 and verse 32. It says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. "Night and day praying exceedingly that you might see your faith and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." There's a ton of other verses that we could look at. Psalm 78, 41. "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. "And he said to them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31. "Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" The story of Peter out in the middle of the water, all of a sudden looking around him like, oh boy. You know, really, our faith fails when we get our eyes off of the focus of our faith. When we begin to look around us at all that's happening, then our faith fails. When we concentrate on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's easy for us to keep that faith there. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. "Lord, bid me come out of the water." Come on. You know, we understand that Peter was kind of stick foot in mouth sometimes. I wonder if that was one of those statements that when Jesus said, "Come on," he went, "Okay." Yeah. Uh-oh. If I'm one of the other disciples, I'd have probably been saying, "Well, big boy, go ahead." We do like to criticize him, but he is the only one walking on water, right? We might be when we leave here, but, you know, we'll see about that. So your faith can fail. I love the passage of Scripture where Jesus says to the man about healing his child. He says, "If you have faith, he can be healed." The man cries out, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." I'm sure if you're honest, you've been there. Lord, yeah, I believe. But there's a whole part of me that doesn't. And it's struggling there. Yeah, I love that passage. It's a great encouragement to me. So your faith can fail. Letter E, or number five, it can increase. It can increase. And I'll try to stay loud here as the rain keeps moving through. Luke 17, verses 5 and 6 says, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." Now, the Lord makes an interesting statement. He said, "If you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." I think the Lord is telling them specifically, they didn't necessarily need an increase in faith. They just need to practice what God had already told them. But I do think it's true that we can increase our faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15, it says, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that ye shall be enlarged by you according to the rule abundantly." That context is specifically talking about giving to missions. When your faith is increased, then we're going to be benefited by that, Paul says. We're enlarged by you according to your abundance. And indeed, God wants us to increase our faith. And we've challenged you to pray about the potential of increasing your faith promise by 10% this year. Some of you are thinking, no way. That's a huge stretch. Okay. But God wants to stretch us. Because the truth is, when we take a step by faith, that step is no longer by faith. Did you understand what I'm saying? In other words, once I take this step, and I don't know what's going to be out there, and I take the step, and God provides. I'm here now. I don't have to believe this by faith anymore. I can see it by sight. It's happening in front of me. Now God wants me to take another step. You ever notice that when God begins to work on you in an area of your life, and I mean, boy, it seems like every time you open your devotions, it's pounding on you. And those preachers, I mean, they're pounding on you. And you go listen to another preacher to get some encouragement, and he pounds on you, you know, and it's like, really? And about the time you get it licked, I mean, it's like, Lord, I'm finally getting victory over this thing. The Holy Spirit says, don't forget about this one over here. You're like, really? I just got this one solved. Can you, you know? The Lord is wanting to push us. He wants to increase us as we try to grow in our faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. The charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So our faith can increase. It should increase. It ought to be growing day by day. Letter F. Your faith can inspire others. Your faith can inspire others. Paul tells Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to believers in... One of those things is in faith. In faith. The faith of one can inspire the faith of many. Think about the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Remember what happens in 1 Samuel 17? David and Goliath. We're going to spend some time next Sunday morning in that story, learning how do we know we're doing something by faith. But David arrives on a scene in which there's a host of army in front of him. And they're all standing there as the big mouth runs down God, makes fun of God. Nobody's willing to fight. They're all scared. David walks out there and says, you've defied God. And it's God that I'm representing, and it's God that's going to take your head off today and pow and cut off the head. What happened to the children of Israel when David acted by faith and defeated Goliath? What happened to the rest of the army? I can't hear you. They joined in, sure. See, you can't hear me either, so I can pay back on you. They joined in. In other words, the rest of the Israeli army all of a sudden said, oh, look, that giant fell. Let's go. And there was a great victory that day. You remember the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer? I love that story. I love Jonathan, period. I mean, this guy was something else, right? He says to his armor bearer, we'll go and expose ourselves. Hello, there's not but two of you. And if they do this, we'll do this. If they do this, we'll do this. You get the idea from Jonathan's story? It didn't matter what they did. They were toast. And you know what happened? Jonathan not only was able to rot a victory, but the Philistines got so scared, they started killing each other. And the Israelites came out of the caves and said, what's going on? Somebody said, I don't know, but man, they're killing each other. They started picking up their swords and they started winning the victory. Why? Because someone decided to live by faith. Live by faith. Your faith can inspire others. Letter G. We are to live by faith. And I know we've already talked about a command, but notice what the Bible says. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If you're justified tonight, you're to live by faith. Day by day. Faith is an all in all. Both in the beginning and progress of your Christian life, someone has said. It is not from faith to works, as if faith puts us into a justified state and then works keeps us in it, but it is all along from faith to faith. It is faith pressing forward and gaining the victory over unbelief. Constantly we are making choices to live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God gives us the ability to live by faith. We could keep going with lots of other verses. Galatians 3 and verse 11. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11. We could read the whole chapter. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Colossians 2 and verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. On and on it goes. There's a lot that we could say there, but we need to live by faith. Letter H, our faith is validated by our works, the Word of God tells us. Let's turn to James chapter 2 because we'll spend just a little bit of time here. James chapter 2. Verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So we must have our faith, but when we have genuine faith, it's going to produce works in our life. We spent some time on this on Wednesday night. It's validated by the things that happens around us. And again, we go back to the fact that people tell us, well, I'm saved. Hey, what's changed in your life? What's changed since you came to know Christ as your Savior? Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What works are being validated in your life on a day-by-day basis? So our faith is validated by our works. Letter I. Faith comes by God's Word. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we learn faith to begin with by God's Word. And the benefit, if you will, of God's Word is much greater when we practice it by faith. The Word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Well, how do I get the faith? Spend time in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the... So you're literally getting this positive, if you will, cycle of being consumed in God's Word, and it builds your faith. And the more you hear it, the more faith it builds, and the more you act by faith, and the more it builds, and da-da-da-da-da. That's why the Word of God is so important. Letter J. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. So again, it is produced by God in our lives. And the more time we spend in God's Word, the more faith we're going to have. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And I know I'm moving quickly here, but I want to get to some application. Letter K. It is a weapon against the enemy. It is a weapon against the enemy. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So, when the devil fires a dart of doubt at my way, or when he fires a question about God. What is it that deals with that dart? It's my faith. Where do I get my faith from? The Word of God. Do you see how valuable it is that we spend time in this book? Because the truth is, the devil is going to fire at us constantly. And those fiery darts are going to come from every angle, and they're going to come in all kinds of ways. And just when you think you got something settled, he's going to fire it another way at you, and you're going to have to continuously have that shield of faith. Whereby I can say, well, wait a minute. God's Word says. God's Word says. God's Word says. That's what our Lord did when the devil tempted him. But we're going to have all these thoughts. And we've got to deal with them biblically. We've got to say, wait a minute. God's Word says such and such. Therefore, what you're telling me is a lie. Now, you got to spend time in the Word for that to take place. 1 John 5 and verse 4. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. Letter L. Under the facts of faith, it's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Jude in verse 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I understand that particular faith is the doctrines by which were delivered to us, but these are all rooted in together. This is worth us fighting for. Not for things that we want. Not our own preferences. We talked about that last week. But rather that which is clearly defined in Scripture. When someone says to us, I don't believe in the virgin birth. Okay, whoa, time out. That's worth fighting for. I don't believe in the resurrection. It's worth fighting for. Thomas yesterday was witnessing to some guys to come to find out they're Mormon. The thing is, when he started, they said, oh yeah, we believe that, we believe that, we believe that, we believe that, we believe that. Then they got to, well, we got a little bit more we want to tell you about. No. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Wait a minute. Let's talk. No. This is what I do when they come to me. Do you believe he's the Son of God? He is God in the flesh. Well, all right. Now we know where we're at. And this is something worth fighting for. We're not willing to compromise on that. So we see the facts of faith, what God's Word says. And literally, you can see faith in thousands of ways in Scripture. In the book of Psalms, for instance, it doesn't use the word faith per se many times. It uses the word trust. But really the idea is there, that I'm trusting in God. And I wish we had time to really delve into that. But you get the idea that faith is very important to Scripture. So let's look at then number two, the function of faith. How do I live day by day by faith? What actually will help me? And we've already touched on a couple of things. Now let me just give you four things that will help us to live by faith. Number one, God's Word. Again, Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You must daily spend time in God's Word. It's essential. Not only is our default mode that which is wrong, we think wrong by default. But we are being bombarded with wrong thoughts. Some of you are struggling with that right now. Hope he's almost done. I'm hungry. Wonder what baseball game's playing tonight. I wonder what I'm going to do after church. This chair's uncomfortable. You know, I wonder if the rain's done. I wonder what I... All of you looking at me so pious. Like you've never thought through those things in a church service. Sure we have, right? We're constantly, and when we're in the world, right? Billboards, magazines, music. We're being bombarded from the world. That's why we got to get back to this book. Back to the book and let it correct our thinking. Oh, you can't think that way because God's Word tells you not to. Well, you can't have that attitude. You can't. No. That's not genuine love. Genuine love is a sacrificial love on my part. You see what I'm saying? We're constantly in the world being bombarded with truths, quote unquote, from the world's perspective that aren't true according to God. So we need that, and that's going to bolster our faith the more time we spend in God's Word. Number two is prayer. In Mark 9:24, the Father says, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Lord, that area right there I'm struggling with. Lord, I know you can do this and this and this and this and this and this, but boy, right there, Lord, got to help me there, Lord. We have other places where the disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith, so forth. Spend time in prayer. Lord, would you help me today to live by faith? Focused on you. You live by faith. We talked about that last week. You live by faith every day. We just do. My electricity went out last night. It's rare that it goes out in Grover, which I'm thankful for. We've been there 15 years. I think this is only the second time it's went out for any length of time. It was about 2 hours and 10 minutes. Not that I was counting, you understand. Do you know how much we do by electricity? I mean, it got hot in the house, one thing. And I opened the window and I thought, I'll just put a fan in the window and pull some of the cool air inside. No, you won't. We all got books out. That's a problem. And a dark house. No. So, you know, whatever, Dale. Your computer don't work, though, to read it to you either, Dale. But that'll work, won't it? Amen. You can read your Bible. And it's, I'm sitting over there next to the window trying to get enough sunlight in, you know, to read the book with these old eyes. And, you know, and Caleb's got a flashlight on his shoulder, you know, trying to shine down as he's reading. And, you know, we really depend on that electricity, don't we? Yeah. We just, by faith, flip a light switch. It was amazing to all of us how many times we walked in a room and flipped on a light switch. Like, that didn't do you any good, you know. We'd hear a flip, we'd go, you turn on the light switch. Oh, no, you know. We're just so used to having it, right? We really practice faith. And when it's not there, we're like, whoa, what's happening? You see, we live by faith all the time, but are we living by faith in what God wants us to do daily? Number three, use it. That's what the Lord tells the disciples. When they say, increase our faith, he says, use it. You have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say that mountain, be thou cast in sea. You can say to the tree, be thou cast in sea. It's going to happen. So what the Lord is saying is, you don't necessarily need to be increased by your faith. You just need to practice what you already have. And the faith of a grain of mustard seed can do a lot. We just need to practice it. But by our very nature, we don't want to practice it. We don't like to live by faith. None of us. It's against everything in us. Nobody likes to walk in a dark room. I know, Dale, it's okay. But it's true. I'm sure Dale deals with this more than any of us could ever imagine. You walk in a room, what's in the room? What's going to trip me up, you know? I've joked with some of you about sitting stacks of chairs along that back wall because I think people do it on purpose. That's the path I walk when this place is really dark. You know, the Sunday after I mentioned that, somebody put a stack of chairs there? Somebody did that on purpose. I've been praying against you since. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But we don't like that. We want everything clearly laid out in front of us. It is against our nature to live by faith. But God wants us to do it. But Lord, you sure you want me to take that step? Yeah. But Lord, we got Mike and Haki here. Is this the third or fourth language we've learned? Are you sure? I mean, hello? But Lord, we're just getting comfortable giving this amount of faith promise. And if we do that, we probably wouldn't be disrespectful enough to go, are you crazy? But that's what we're thinking, isn't it? Really, Lord? We don't have a problem amening so-and-so to go to such-and-such a place by faith, right? I mean, if we had a young person step out tonight in this service and say, I'm going to name the country, the majority of you would say, amen, praise the Lord, what a step of faith. And if we said, okay, we need you, each family, to give $100 by faith tonight, and we can send them tomorrow. Well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to do that. I'm just, isn't it easier for us to rejoice in someone else's faith than it is for us to have to live that way? But God says, use it. Use it. When you use it to have the opportunity, you're like, well, if I use it, he's wanting me to use it even more. Uh-huh. That's right. Like, so if I finally get this weight up, God's going to say, okay, let me throw a couple of the 5-pounders on there. Like, we had our grandkids at the house this weekend, and we got 2 little 3-pound weights. And my granddaughter picked them up, and she was like, you know, it was a big deal. So she said, here, Papa, you do it. Okay. Now, the truth is, contrary to popular opinion, I did not struggle picking those weights up, all right? I know some of you may think Beasley there. Okay, you may think differently, but I didn't. But I acted like it. And she loved it, right? I was like, you know, and she was big old smile on her face, you know. But the truth is, if you want to increase your muscles, I'm probably going to have to do a little more curls than 3 pounds, right? You know, that's really not that big of a deal. And when I get to the point of, well, God's going to add a little bit more and a little bit more. But when we live a life of faith, what a blessing that is. Just read that story of the farmhouse in Spain. Has it been a big deal? Oh, it's been a big deal. But just when we were there in December to look at that place, from what we saw, Brother Wes and others that were with us when we were there 7 years ago, it's amazing. There's not a door, a roof, a sidewalk, or a piece of grass in that place that Andy can't tell you a story by faith. What a blessing that is. I was watching a DVD from Ronnie Doss the other day. And to maintain his ministry, it takes $10,000 a month. He's feeding over 170 children, plus the staff, plus the Bible college, plus the churches. I think there are 45 churches now that he's planted in Honduras. Brother Mike and I had the privilege of going with Lisa up to that minute. What unbelievable people. Unbelievable. And I sat at my desk going, 10,000 a month? That's a ministry by faith. By faith. Oh, use it. Number four, there's hope. I want you to follow me here. Romans chapter 4, and then we'll be done. I know it's a little bit over. Some of you are thinking about that supper again. But just give me just a minute, all right? Romans chapter 4, if you will, please. And let me show something here to you that I think will help us. If I can find it in the Bible. Right after Romans chapter 3. There it is. All right. In Romans chapter 4, the context is talking about Abraham and how God asked him to do that which was impossible. Whether it was leave his homeland and go to a land I didn't tell you, or to have a child well beyond the years of childbearing, or to kill your son And he had faith to believe that God would raise him up because he was the promised seed. That's the context of chapter 4, really through verse 22. Verse 23 says this of chapter 4. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and were raised again for our justification. He clearly is talking about salvation there. And it was imputed, Abraham believed God by faith. And that faith imputed unto him the righteousness of God. And he wrote that story so that we would also know that we can live a life of faith. Verse 5, or chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You say, okay, Pastor, what does this mean? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. By the way, in that particular context, or in that particular Greek word, it's the same Greek word translated hope through the rest of Scripture. It's translated faith here. You see how those two are connected? Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We go full circle back to the focus of our faith. It must be God. In other words, I don't just foolishly act, but my faith in the work of Christ, in the Word of God, equals hope. Equals hope. So I don't have hope based upon some televangelist promise that's unscriptural. I have hope when it's rooted in the promises of God that I've placed my faith in. And then I can have the confidence, because that's what the word hope means, a confident expectation. All right, so God says to you, I want you to increase your faith promise this year. Lord, you don't understand. Don't you love it when we say that to him? Lord, I don't think you understand this. He does. You're all looking at me that way because we've said it to him. Lord, my finances have been cut this past year. It's a bigger deal. I know this is by faith. It's by faith. Well, are you sure? When he tells us to do something, he's usually pretty sure, right? It's not like a daddy that we have to say, are you sure? He told us to do it. Yeah, he's sure. Again, we're not talking about foolishness. We know, okay, God has promised that he's going to meet our needs. There's a world dying and going to hell. There are missionaries who desperately need us to live more by faith, so they can get to the field that God's called them to. Some of our missionaries, that I said in the letter about missions conference, some of our missionaries have not had a cost of living increase in over 10 years. That means the $200 that we were giving them is down to $150, in some cases $125, in some cases it's down to $100. So in essence, they have taken a pay cut over the years, rather than us increasing. Well, I'd love to see us increase that. Now, we're not going to be able to increase it, you know, a ton. But, you know, if we could increase every missionary by 10%, you know what encouragement that'd be to them? It wouldn't represent but $20 to them, but it'd represent the fact that we're conscious that they have needs out there and we can help meet that. But that's going to take an act of faith by us. I can tell you, we don't have that money. We're not currently bringing in missions. And God's going to have to stretch us to do it. But I believe that's what he wants us to do. I believe he wants us to live by faith. I'm not going to review all the facts of faith tonight, but are you functioning by faith? Are you living by faith today, tomorrow, the next day? And what is it that God's asking you to do that you've just been scared to do, but you know clearly in God's word it's telling you to do it? Step out by faith. Then he's going to show me something else to do by faith. Yeah, he probably will. That's okay. Just take that step too. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you can be a George Mueller. He'll look back. You know, George Mueller didn't start out saying, you know, one day, I'm going to be the poster boy of faith. And I'm going to have all these kids that I can't feed, and I'm going to have all these really cool stories, and it's going to be fun to write these. He didn't start out that way. God just told him to do something, and he did it. And he did it, and he did it, and he did it, and he did it. And all of a sudden, he's looking at hundreds of children with nothing to eat. And he's like, this is yours, Lord. This is what you told me to do. We don't have anything to feed them. It's okay. By faith, do that. Father, thank you for your word tonight. May we live by faith. May we as individuals, may I live by faith. May we as a church live by faith. May you teach us that which we need to learn. May we take the step that you've clearly shown to us. May your people be people of faith. And we'll thank you for it.